The maker of Corona Beer says it's investing $4 billion into one of Canada's biggest marijuana companies. Constellation Brands and Canopy Growth announced the deal 2 months before recreational pot is legally sold across Canada. In fact, the rise of legal marijuana around the globe has opened a potentially lucrative door for the entire beverage industry. Heineken and Molson Coors have announced similar plans to produce cannabis-infused drinks. Let's bring in Jessica Lucas, who's following this for BDS Analytics. And Jessica, we know people are drinking less beer. Do these big alcohol companies think legal pot has something to do with that?
Yeah, so we're not looking at exactly what's happening to beverage alcohol sales. What we're assessing is the consumer landscape and how are consumers behaving and how is their behavior shifting. And so what we know is that, first off, most cannabis consumers also consume alcohol. But what we also know is that there's risks for the alcohol manufacturers because of legal cannabis. The first is complementary occasions, meaning occasions that used to be a beer, wine, or spirits occasion. Friday night, you're watching Netflix with your significant other. You're choosing between beer, wine, and spirits. Guess what? Now in legal states, you have a fourth consideration, and that's cannabis. And when cannabis is paired with alcohol in the same setting, what happens is you don't lose that alcohol consumption, but you do lose a unit or two of consumption. So people tend to drink less when they pair alcohol with cannabis.
What kind of drinks are these alcohol companies planning on making? We're seeing that Lagunitas, which is owned by Heineken, started selling cannabis sparkling water in California just a few weeks ago. We're talking about water, not beer here. What kind of products are they making?
Yeah, so Lagunitas is the first one that has actually launched a product, and you're right, it's a hop-inspired sparkling water. So holding true to who Lagunitas is and who their brand personality is, it's not surprising to see them enter cannabis. Obviously, there's another major public announcement in Colorado from the founder of Blue Moon under the brand of Seria, and they're telling us they're going to come out with craft beer that is infused with cannabis THC.
There will be alcohol and THC in the same drink?
That is incorrect. You cannot have alcohol and THC in the same drink. So imagine brewing the beer, a very expensive, timely process to strip the alcohol and then adding the THC back in.
All right. I was in Canada just a few months ago at the headquarters of Canopy. Back in June, the company had just listed on the New York Stock Exchange, and at the time I asked CEO Bruce Linton about his preferences for either smoking marijuana or getting a dose of pot from something like an edible.
I'm open to both, but I really don't think that the ceremony of smoking a joint is high on everybody's priority list. But the outcome, I think, is what people would like relative to alcohol.
Jessica, what do you think about that? Has your research suggested at all that maybe these alcohol companies are getting into this business because, look, not everyone wants to blaze up a joint now that it's legal, that people want to get it other ways?
Yeah, you're correct. Cannabis consumers today do still prefer inhalables. Inhalables including flower, such as a joint, and concentrates, which also includes, obviously, a very large category of vaping. But we do see that newer consumers, so consumers who are just starting to get into cannabis, or older consumers who are medically motivated, they don't want to be inhaling. Most consumers who are consuming for medical reasons want to have a potentially a healthier experience than what they believe they'll get from inhaling. And so edibles, whether that is a beverage, a chocolate, a gummy, definitely meet the needs of those people. Among those recent consumers, so again, consumers who are just now entering the space, inhaling, packing a bowl, rolling a joint is a bit intimidating to them. Using a form that you know and you're familiar with, you drink a beverage every day. Now it's infused with THC or CBD, and that fits already with a pre-existing routine.
Now that's CBD. Let's talk about that. CBD is the non-psychoactive part of the drug. And I was speaking with a coffee company owner in Denver the other day who's selling bags of CBD coffee as a health supplement. So the claim is that it might help with anxiety, it might help with joint pain, but there is not full-blown science out there about whether or not the product will do exactly what it says it will, which makes me wonder if there's not a risk that this could be a fad.
I do not believe it is a fad. I think what's happening right now is definitely a buzzword. So I will say you are correct that there are a lot of people consuming CBD both regulated, meaning through the dispensary that's marijuana-derived, but also general market. You could order it on Amazon, which is hemp-derived CBD, who has no idea what they are consuming. And right now, the products that are going through the general market, so not through the dispensaries, are not necessarily being regulated to the degree that they should. So first off, you don't really know what's in those products. Secondly, consumers don't even know at the most basic level the difference between CBD and THC. So there's a lot of education needed out there. The interesting thing is CBD and THC are just two of hundreds of potential cannabinoids. So this whole conversation is going to get much more complex before it gets simplified.
And by the way, that coffee can be expensive, of $55 for one of those bags. Will people be willing to pay those elevated prices for something like a cup of coffee or a beer?
Yeah, I think what's interesting about the premium price, it does inspire people to do more research, which I think is a good thing, meaning research into exactly what CBD is good for, how it might interact with prescription medications they're already on, and to do a bit more research on the brand and the product that they're looking to buy. And I think all of those things are really good things. But if you think about that price point, and I don't know how many doses or servings are in that $55 coffee, you have to compare it to their alternative, which potentially is, you know, pharmaceutical drugs or over-the-counter drugs that are also costly in some occasions.
Jessica Lucas, VP of Consumer Insights at BDS Analytics. Jessica, thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you.